If you'll go back to Hebrews chapter 11 again, I'm going to do my best to try to finish this. If you found your place there in Hebrews chapter 11, please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God if you're physically able. Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to read these first 10 verses here to you once again. And we're going to go on studying this word of faith here in Scripture. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So last week we talked about belief being simply the assent of the, faith being belief or the assent of the mind to the truth of what is declared by another, resting on his authority and veracity without any other evidence. Okay? So that just takes this word belief and really just kind of throws it up there to the level of divine authority. Because you understand, I explained this last week, we believe this is the Word of God. Okay? And listen, we've talked about, Brother Losey has mentioned the debate between different things about Bible versions and stuff. And there are some that would even say that the Bible in any translation is incorrect or whatever they may say. They say it's just a book, just another collection of historical ideas or perhaps even fantasy. But we by faith believe it to be the Word of God. You see, but it's by faith. I don't need any other evidences. Although we have a lot of evidences. My daughter is taking a course. I've taken a course in manuscript evidence or defense of the King James Bible, if you will. Great classes. And they give a lot of evidence. I mean, truckloads of evidence. So, yes, that helps. But you know what? There comes a time and place where we as believers just have to throw all that aside and say, look, I just take God's authority on the matter. I'm just going to rest in his saying so that this is the Word of God. Done. Because if you don't get to that point, you'll always question. You see, well, maybe if I just had a little more evidence, or maybe if I just heard this argument or these people say, well, what about this and what about that? You know what? I decided a long time ago that if there's an apparent contradiction in the Word of God, that the Bible is true and we just don't understand it. You just got to get to that point. You know what that is? Faith. So faith is those things. And last week, we did give this entire introduction, so I'm not going to do that again. And we also talked about believing faith. There are a few scriptures that I did not get to. But here in our text, you understand that it talks about how Abel offered this sacrifice, and he obtained it as a witness. He did it by faith. And the worlds were framed, and these people believed, and Enoch was translated because he pleased God with his faith, and Noah, not even having seen rain before, he just believed God. It's just belief. God, okay. I mean, imagine the world has just begun, if you will, and Cain and Abel are out there, as boys being taught by their father and such. I mean, they're the first people. They've not experienced any of this stuff before. So God says, okay, you got to build an altar, you got to put wood on it, you got to put fire to it, and I want an animal on there. I want it done this way. Abel goes, sure, no problem. Cain's like, I got a better idea. I mean, come on. Abel could have done the same. Or Cain could have done the same as Abel. It's just a matter of faith. It's recorded here in Scripture. So we understand that it's just simple belief. Believing faith. I did not get to read some of these Scriptures last week, but here's just a few examples. Remember the man that had the child that was possessed. And the devils were so strong in him, and many other people tried to cast them out. Remember, Jesus said some of these things only come by prayer and fasting. But as Jesus was dealing with this man, Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And it says, "And straightway the father of the child cried out, and said with tears." Listen. I hope that you go back, and you can go back and read this in Mark chapter 9 sometime. But I want you to understand this father was desperate. And the Bible says he cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe." Now that's strong. But what he says next is even stronger. "Help thou mine unbelief." That's where we are, folks. We sometimes need God to help us with our unbelief. God, I mean, I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. Before you get too critical, as I often do, I try not to, but I often do. The disciples, I don't think I could even, if you will, touch the hem of their garment. Do you understand? And Jesus often said to them, "No faith, little faith, where's your faith?" So how much more, folks, do we need to be like this father and say, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Over in John chapter 20, and again, before we start executing apostles here, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Uh-uh. Yeah, sure you have. Uh-huh. Okay, that's in the Greek. Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger to the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now listen, folks, that's pretty definite. I mean, he was very adamant about this, wasn't he? I love this. "And after 8 days again, his disciples were with him, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus." Bum, bum, bum. You can play some kind of ominous music there if you want. "The doors being shut, stood in the midst." Folks, did you notice there? It didn't say he came through the door. It's kind of like, there's Jesus. Just how it works. Nobody's ever thought of that in the history of the world. I don't know where these things come from in my mind. It's from having too many children, I think. Yeah, right. Now, stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas. I mean, Thomas shouldn't have been surprised. He'd been with the man 3.5 years. He's seen some pretty wild stuff. Thomas, why wouldn't you believe? And folks, I didn't get to this last week, but why don't we believe more than we believe? I mean, I get the Father. The Father wasn't necessarily associated with Christ before. We don't know if he followed along, or maybe Jesus just came through his city and he heard of him but these men walked with him and they talked with him and they saw the miracles and they saw his character and they knew he was Christ and they knew he was God. And I mean, really, Thomas, I will not believe. But some of us are that way in different areas of our lives. And he looks at Thomas and said, "Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless." Jesus said, "Be not faithless, Thomas." When you say, "I will not believe," that's faithless, folks. That's that no faith place where we don't need to be. And then Thomas, he says, "Be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Now listen, duh, Thomas. But Jesus says to him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me and thou hast believed, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, because these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." And that brings me to the second kind of faith, and that's saving faith. I mean, I've talked to lots of people, knocked on their doors, asked them, "Hey, if you die today, do you know for sure you go to heaven?" And some people will say yes, some people will say no, some people say maybe, some people say I think so, some people say I don't. You know, there's lots of different answers. But those that say yes, I further ask and say, "Well, may I ask how you know that?" And a lot of people will say, "Because I believe in God." Well, that's great. Jesus said, "You believe in God? Believe also in me." He said, "But Jesus is God." Yes. But they are three. We've already talked about that. And I don't have any more messages on that particular subject. We're all out. I was just trying to give you a little insight. There's a new message for Sunday. So, now, but saving faith. "Oh, Jesus, yeah, that's the Son of God." You know, just acknowledging that fact is not enough. The devil believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Is he too saved? Nope. But when that thief on the cross looked at Jesus and said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom," that was saving faith. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus said, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." We know Ephesians chapter 2. But let me give you a little context here. Paul begins the chapter and says, "And you hath he quickened, vivified, made alive again." You know how much I like that word now. "Who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world. Hey, folks, that way is broad, and it leads to destruction. The normal, natural course of this world, cursed by sin, lost and undone, leads to death. He says, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had, past tense, our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Do we need to go back to Hebrews 11 and talk about all these different people? It's by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Isaac and Jacob, by faith Sarah, and by faith Joseph, and by faith Moses, and by faith all these about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets. All by faith. You understand, folks, that it is by faith that we're saved. It's saving faith. In 2 Timothy 3, it says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, here it is again, through faith. You know, when we look at saving faith, we got to believe God about us. You can't be saved until you're lost, folks. You've got to believe God that you're an awful, horrible, wretched, filthy, low down, good for nothing sinner. Yeah. You know, sometimes that's what stops people. I'm not that bad. I've never killed anybody. They don't think that they're worthy of hell. They don't think they're worthy of that fate. But the Bible says we're condemned already. That this is passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Folks, we've got to believe God about us. We've got to believe God about Jesus, his son. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. We got to believe God about what it takes to be saved. Repentance and faith. Turning from our sin. Turning from whatever we've been trusting in before and turning to Jesus Christ. When that man was on the cross next to Jesus, he openly with his mouth confessed that he was a sinner. He said, hey, pal, over there, that's yelling at Jesus like I was a few minutes ago. We're sinners. We deserve this. This man hath done nothing. And then he looked at Jesus and said, Lord, remember me. That's saving faith. We've got to believe God about this all of these circumstances. In 1 Peter 1, Peter writes and says, blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Two, an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God. Oh, gee, guess what the next two words are? Through faith. Man, how can that same combination of words come up so many times? And maybe because that's what it is. You think? I think God just forgot that he put it there before. No. No, he didn't. It is through faith that we're saved. In James chapter 2, he says, what doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. You say, man, Pastor, you're just defeating your whole purpose of this whole message. Faith doesn't do anything. Yes, it does. What he's saying is if you say you have faith, but you don't do like you have faith, then you don't have faith. You see, faith is action. I love this. I used to use this illustration all the time in my Sunday school class. We can bark all day long. We could make television commercials. We could put it on billboards and something. This is a chair. I can say it's a chair. I can say this chair is an excellent chair. This chair will hold your weight. It will support you when you try to sit upon it. It's a good chair. It's a solid chair. But do you see me touching the chair? No, but I can talk all day long. Yeah, I've got faith in Jesus. This is what James is saying. In this case, it's not about the faith, he's saying. It's about the absence of the showing of that faith. In other words, all hot air and no substance. Back in Hebrews, it tells us that faith is a substance. It's tangible. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. You know what will make you believe in this chair? This is a good, solid chair. That'll help. Right? And this is a good, solid chair. Are you believing me now? Kind of. This is a good, solid chair! Now how are we doing? Yeah. Hey folks, that's what James is saying. Faith without works is dead, being alone. Saving faith. It makes a lot of noise, but it's there. I know it is. Saving faith. I need to work on my time skills. 1 John chapter 5 says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You say, what does this have to do with faith? Well, just listen, I'll tell you. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You see, faith is action. When we trust Jesus Christ,
Folks, that's action.
And it's not just belief. There's believing faith, and that's great. And you have to have that. But you've got to go to the point where you are actually going ahead and saying, I believe God! I believe! Because that's what salvation is. Jumping in with both feet saying, Lord, save me. Saving faith. We may have to extend this another Wednesday. Because we still need to talk about growing faith. You understand that without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You understand that in order to please God, we need to exercise our faith. Our faith needs to grow. Our faith needs to be strengthened. Our faith needs to develop over time. Because listen, folks, I promise you that this thing of faith is not something that comes easily. You say, how do you know that? Just go back and check out the disciples, if you would. They had some difficulty, didn't they? They had some things to overcome. And they even said, Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and thou be planted into the sea, and it should obey you. And everybody here said, yeah, right. You're in the same boat as the disciples were. And I mean that literally. Master! Carest thou not that we perish? Hey, folks, you forgot to do the fact check. Jesus was in the boat. He was sleeping, not bothered by the storm. You shouldn't have been either. We have storms in our lives. We have difficulties. The waves pick up. The winds blow. The boat starts to rock. Water comes over the side. Our feet are getting wet. Our ankles are getting wet. Our knees are getting wet. We look over at Jesus. Where's Jesus? Oh, there he is. Hey! Don't you care? Can't you see? What do we need, folks? We need growing faith. I think we need to talk about that next week. Faith is something important. Let me remind you of some of the deeper ideas in the dictionary given. The belief of the scriptures. And Mr. Webster even says the simple belief of the scriptures. Of being and perfections of God. The existence and character and doctrines of Christ, founded on the testimony of the sacred writers, it's called historical or speculative faith. In the evangelical sense, justifying or saving faith is the assent of mind to the truth of divine revelation on the authority of God's testimony, accompanied with a cordial assent of the will or approbation of the heart, an entire confidence or trust in God's character and declarations, and in the character and doctrines of Christ, with an unreserved surrender of the will to His guidance and dependence on His merits for salvation. In other words, that firm belief of God's testimony and the truth of the gospel, which influences the will and leads to an entire reliance on Christ. That's faith. And as our faith grows, maybe one day we can get to the place where we have mature faith. Remember what Jesus said? I've not seen so great faith. You know what that was? That was mature faith. And from a lost person, no less. You see, how is that possible? I guess you're going to have to come back next Wednesday and find out.